Join me, if you will, in opening the spiritual mind treatment. I'll do this in the first person. Here's the truth. There's only one power, one infinite intelligence, one universal presence. It is right here, right now, and always in us, as us, and through us. It is present here in the words, the ideas, the thoughts, the goodness that's happening. It is here right now showing up as the best ideas that flow into our minds and our hearts from within us, from within that great source of wisdom and power within us. So as we share together in this time, we know that all that is needed, all that is wanted, all that ever was and ever can be for us shows up for us. Right here, right now, and always. In gratitude and ease, I release this knowing this is the truth. We let it be, and so it is. Our Vice President of the Board and Practitioner, Lee Huffman.
Good morning. Thank you, Bob. Mm-hmm. It's good to see everybody here after Thanksgiving, and we're not left over with the turkey and all that. So did everybody have a good Thanksgiving?
Yeah.
A little bit of time with family and a little bit of time to rest a little bit and enjoy it. I know we had a great time. We were with our son, and we actually had dinner at their house, so Kim didn't have to work as hard, although she was in there making sure everything was going well. For all the millennials that were in there cooking dinner for the first time, for everybody, it was quite fun. I'm going to start with an advertisement, and Bob will probably touch on it again as we get a little bit later in the service, but the adult study group next year is going to invite all of you to participate in something, but you don't have to come to the adult study group, although you're more than welcome to come at 10 o'clock on Sunday. You don't have to come. And so out on the table, there are two things. One is a thing that says you're invited, which you're going to see a lot of that coming up. And it's to join us on an amazing spiritual journey in 2019. And we are going to go through this book. We have a second thing is a trifold that actually has 2 pages a day, roughly, that you can read and go through, and you'll complete this whole book in a year. And it's going to be an amazing spiritual practice for us to go through, and we'd like to invite you all to come on that journey with us. And if you can't make it that early on Sunday morning, you can still go through the study with us. And this is the Science of Mind book. And this is the textbook that really started it all. This is the 1938 edition. And it's important that for the index goes with the 1938 edition. But it is the textbook that we all start the teaching in. And so it's very phenomenal to go through this and understand it. And I'm looking forward to going through it again with a community. So the problem with this book is every time you, there it went. Every time you open it up and say, what do I want to teach on? There's just too many opportunities. And it's much like life. What do you want to do with your life? And so I started looking that we are moving. We've been through the month of abundance, and that it's priming the pump for abundance for all of us. And so there's more abundance still coming to us. We're coming towards the end of a month of gratitude, which again primes the pump because gratitude fuels everything that we do in life. And I have found through my own life that the more gratitude I have, the more I attract things to be grateful for. And now we're looking at the time of giving and, of course, receiving, but it is part of joining in the divine flow. And it's interesting what is taught here and how you look at it, how we look at it as to the teachings of Christ. So chapter 22 talks about finding the Christ, and I'm going to read the whole chapter. No, I'm not going to read the whole chapter. But it says, who is the Christ? The Son begotten of the only Father. It's a little bit different than what I was taught. Not the only begotten Son of God. The mystical conception of Christ means the universality of sonship embodied in any individual who recognizes the sonship. Christ means the universal idea of sonship of which each is a member. That is why we are spoken of as members of that one body, and why we are told to have the mind, capital M, in us, which was also in Christ Jesus. Each partakes of the Christ nature to the degree that the Christ is revealed through him, and to that degree he becomes the Christ. We should turn to that living presence within, which is the Father in heaven, recognize it as the one and only power in the universe, unify with it, declare our word to be the presence, power, and activity of this one. This teaching has been very meaningful to us, to me and to my wife, and it is this time of year that I look and see how much it blends with the teaching that I was brought up with, which is the Protestant teaching. And so when I look at the definition of Christ, and I go back and look at the Hebrew and the translations, and see that there's only minor differences, but that the Christ consciousness is a spirit within all of us. So as we look towards the journey that they talk about the wise men taking, although the timing's a little bit off, it would still take time, and they're probably starting their journey to see one that they knew as one who had Christ within them as a baby. And if you really look at it, we all had that. No matter how old you are, you had the Christ consciousness within you as a baby, as a child, and you have it now. So that's where our power comes from. That's where the world comes from. So we do something called spiritual mind treatment, which is an affirmative prayer. And I would like to ask everybody to relax a bit. Might be easy to set things down and just get in a comfortable position. And rest your mind. Relax your body. And know these things with me, if you will. I know that there was one God, one universal creator, and that universal creator was a Christ consciousness. It still is the Christ consciousness, because everything was created as an expression of that creator. I know that as we go through this holiday season, I see the connection of the Christ consciousness in myself. For if everything was created out of the Christ consciousness, if everything was created out of the creator of the universe, then that creator is in me and within everyone around me. As I go through the busy time of year that is the Christmas season, I know that there is peace deep down inside of everyone. I know that peace is that peace of the Christ consciousness, of the Spirit, of the Creator. Today, I know that there is no separation between myself and the Creator. I know that my mind is not separate from the mind of the Creator or of those around me. I know that peace and happiness is all around us. Despite what may be happening on the news or in the shopping centers or on the internet, I know that peace and love is what the season is all about. And I know that peace and love is around me. So I drink in this peace and this love. And I know what I desire desires me. I know that what I want to have come forth in my life will come forth, because I am so connected because there is no difference between me and the Creator. There is no separation. So I look to the season with a smile for everyone that I see. And those smiles come back, and the joy and the love of being one with the universe relaxes me and allows me to chill and to enjoy the time that the season brings. I know that my words are powerful. I know that as I speak these words, they go forth and they create peace and harmony through the season and through the time and through the people that I am with. And they will not return to me void. This I know, and so it is.
Well, they say it's bad form to talk about a talk before you do the talk, but I'm going to talk about the talk because it's bad form, and I don't mind. When I first came up with this title, I thought, man, this is going to be fun. I'm going to get to dig into what it looks all about, family values, etc. The title of the talk today is Radical Family Values. And as I dug into it, what I began to discover is that any and everything I had not resolved related to family and family values started showing up in my face. I know this. I've done this job for many years, and I've had the opportunity for many years to teach the truth and speak it. And every time I set a title, I get to learn from it before I ever speak about it. And boy, did I get to this week. So if you came here hoping for a final, finished, polished product, you're not going to get that. You're going to get some ideas and some thoughts and some invitation to kind of walk with me through some ideas about family values, and particularly family values related to our teaching. I call it radical family values simply because it is a radical departure from how many, many family values are established. Not all, by any means, but many. So often our family values come from what was passed along from the time before and the time before that and the time before that. We did it this way because we did it that way, because grandma did it and grandpa did it. You all know the story of the ham that every Christmas, you know, she chops off the end of the ham. And finally, she wonders, her daughter asks why, and so the mom goes in to ask grandma, and grandma didn't remember, so great-grandma's upstairs asleep, and they go wake her up and say, how come you taught mama, and mama taught me, and, you know, to always cut the end off the ham before you cook it at Christmas? And she said, well, it's real simple. When we started, we were poor. We only had a little pan. But she chopped it off and kept it going. A lot of our family values and family traditions and family ideas come from limited ideas that were started at some point, and they get passed down generation to generation to generation. If this teaching is about anything, it's about the freedom of newness, the freedom to choose, and the freedom to create. Dr. Holmes says at the beginning of the Science of Mind textbook that freedom is our birthright. Freedom is what we're born to. And then he says, so why are things a mess? Why are we a mess? Why are things not always going the way we want or need them to? And then that's what the whole rest of the book is about and the rest of this teaching is about. So I don't have a short answer to that, except that we have not yet fully realized and brought into our conscious awareness the truth of who we really are. So radical family values are family values based on the radical idea that you are an expression of one power that is the only power there is. And your values around family can grow out of that, rather than simply be in reaction to what's going on around you. Make sense? So I'm inviting you to think about that for a little bit with me. As we were together, I was aware of my whole family was together this week, and then I came back a little early. But we had every political stand in the room. We had every personality type in the room. We had the outgoing, joyful, other paternal kind of person, my son-in-law's father, the other father-in-law in the room. We had all the exes and their new pluses in the room. We had the recluse that sat in the corner and played on his video games on the phone the whole time and wouldn't talk to anybody. And we had the grandkids running around and seeing who they could get the most attention from, except the oldest one who was trying to see how to avoid interaction with anybody if he could get away with it. All through that whole mix of amazing different expressions of people. And there was a time in my family's life when any or one or many of those would have been standing in judgment by others and saying, well, you should get off your video game and play with the rest of us, talk to us. We don't care if you don't have anything to say, but you know, you should do it differently. Or the little kids should be quiet, seen and not heard. That was a rule when I was a kid. Be seen and not heard. Don't speak, especially at the dinner table. You just don't talk there. You got to keep everybody calm so your food will digest better or something like that. So on and on, all these judgments. Well, in this particular awareness, there was like, wow. We didn't have any of that judgment going on. Everybody was free to do the holiday the way they wanted to. We were just sharing this great big space together. And it was really sweet, and it was really beautiful. And it was because enough of us have come to the awareness that there's a divine individuality in each one of us that is expressing itself, and nobody has a right to say no to it. Unless we invite them to, and then we get mad at them when they do, right? So radical family values are partly about love and acceptance, unconditional love. But it's really, I think, based on radical freedom. The freedom of each of us to live. We are free to live as freely, as richly, as healthily as we want to, as we believe we can. We are also free to live as limited and shut down and closed in and unhappy as we believe we can. And we have the freedom to set that up either way, based on our beliefs, based on our behaviors, based on our histories, based on what we've been told about who we are that we decided was the truth, and on it goes. So when I think about being with family, this is a tough time of year for some people. You mentioned your cousin, and there are others. This is a time where when family's together, you're aware of who's not there and who is there. We were aware my Uncle Cecil wasn't there. He was always the jokester with the guitar and entertained us. Well, he wasn't there this year because he's been gone for a while. And as I thought about him, I remembered, this is the guy that used to be the troublemaker, getting in fights all the time and got kicked out of the army for fighting too much and turned out to be one of the wisest people in our family. What a transformation. And he's the one who told me at one point in my life, you can be anything you want to be, you just have to make up your mind to it. And quit saying the opposite of what you want. He didn't know anything about this book or this teaching, but the truth came through him anyway. Part of what happens in radical families is we learn to see and know the truth when it comes to us from one of those people and recognize it and feel it. And it's really pretty cool. See, we are completely free to create our lives, and including choosing our families. Now, I'm not going into whether you chose them before you came in or not, because I don't know. I don't remember. And I know there's lots of stories and theories that's beyond the scope of the science of mind and within the scope of other things. So I'll let you have your truth about that, and I'll keep mine to myself. But whatever that is, you do choose the family you're in right now. Those of you who are over 3 or 4 years old, and it looks like everybody. You've chosen the family you're part of, you've chosen the family, and you will continue to choose the family as you go forward. And those folks may be people you have birth connections with or genetic connections with, and they may be people that you have no other connection with except the heart, except the knowing that there's something here. You know how that is. You've met people. You know people around that aren't necessarily related to you that are family. I had different uncles and aunts growing up who were nowhere related physically, but they were very much part of our family. It was really beautiful. This is such an important area. There's a whole field of psychology around it. There's philosophy around it. There are all kinds of things developed about what are the real values of being family. And my talking about it is partly to help you and me both, choose what values do I want to hold. In choosing my family, in choosing how I'm going to participate as family, what are the values? What are the pieces that matter to me? My favorite family therapist and developer of family therapy movement was Virginia Satir. She started with the idea that all individuals in a family are spiritual beings. Heard that somewhere before. She went on with the idea that because of that, everyone should be treated as such. I heard a beautiful talk about children at one point, some years ago by, I don't remember who now, who talked about the idea that no matter how young and developing children are, they are already full spiritual beings. And our role as nurturers and adults is simply to allow them to find their way into this crazy world of physical time and space. Because they already have the spiritual perfection within them. We don't have to beat it into them. We don't have to drag it out of them. We don't have to scare it into them or scare it out of them. We just have to honor them for being the spiritual beings they are and allow them to evolve and emerge. Virginia Satir says there are some things that are part of that process of being in a family that are really, really important. She says that all families should be free and members of the family to see and hear what is really here instead of what should be, was, or will be. In other words, you can really see and know what's going on, and it's okay. You know? Anybody have? I have more examples of the opposite of that than I do of the reality of it, because that's what many of us have experienced. You know? We had a neighbor across the street who was a confirmed bachelor. And for some reason, he had a lot of male friends. But no one ever said anything except he was a confirmed bachelor. And I saw and heard enough to know what that really meant. But God forbid if anybody used the other words like gay or a man who loved men or any of that to name him. There was no freedom to see what we saw and speak what we knew. The freedom was, you know, you got to be careful. That was a cultural thing, not just my family thing. But in a family, in a radical family where you are living out of oneness, there is the freedom to say what you see, to hear and see and know what's really there, rather than pretending it's something else. My grandmother came from a family of very wealthy South Georgians. She was one of those aristocratic South Georgians, and she said Georgia with about 16 syllables. I can't do it. I used to try. Wonderful, beautiful woman. Loved her. And we had, but in 1929, they lost everything. And so, but we had around the house some increments left over from those days, some very fine china and some beautiful crystal and some silver. And it was always interesting to me that we used one of the silver vases, the thing as it were, to catch water for the leaky roof that she had. Because we were living in the old age, the idea that they still had it all. And we moved with the upper aristocratic family members in our area. But we didn't really. We pretended. Now, that's not wrong, but what's better about it is to be able to say the truth and maybe get the roof fixed, maybe sell that thing, you know, whatever. Deciding what matters and doing it based on what's real, not on what we wish were so. The other thing is to say what you feel and think instead of what you should. Oh, you don't feel that way. Never heard that one either, right? Oh, yes, I do. And then we grow up with these ideas that we shouldn't say what we think and feel. That there's somehow something wrong with it if it's not saying something nice. If you can't say something nice, don't say anything. If you can't feel something nice, don't feel anything. Which really means, if you've ever been told don't feel that way? Well, don't feel that way. It really just says don't feel. And a lot of folks grow up and continue to live in families where feelings are not allowed. You just don't do that. In the radical family values, their feelings are honored and blessed, and you're invited to feel what you feel. It doesn't mean anybody else is supposed to fix it or break it or do anything else with it. It just means you can feel it. It's okay. You're welcome to it. Because your feelings are an important part of contributing to who you are, who this family is, as a conglomerate of spiritual beings trying to find our way through time and space and the world and create goodness and joy and happiness for ourselves. We're also in a family of that sort, according to Virginia, is to ask for what one wants instead of always waiting for permission to have it. Wow. As adults, we really know we have to ask for what we want, but how often do we just wait around for somebody to figure it out and tell us or give it to us? But if you loved me, I know that never happens to folks here. Ask for what you want. Say what you want instead of waiting for it. To take risks with one another on your own behalf instead of choosing to be secure and not rock the boat. It takes a real commitment among people to pull that off, to be able to say, this is what I want, and knowing that the others in your family group may not agree. But knowing that when you say it, you're welcomed in saying it and expressing it, and maybe somebody will come forward and be able to stand up with you, even if it does rock the boat. Virginia also says that we are attracted to people by our sameness, that we're drawn to people by our sameness, and we grow through our differences. Families are pulled together, families of choice, families that we are just connected with. We feel the connection. We are connected through our likeness, our sameness, our ways and ideas and feelings that we share. But we grow through our differences. We grow when we bump up against. That's why Jesus said, love your enemies, even if it's your grandmother. No, love your enemies. Love those people that you bump up against that really seem to make things uncomfortable and shake up the status and the status quo and the natural view of what seems to be the natural view of things. Because they're giving you a chance to grow, and they're giving you something to grow with and to grow about. Bless them. Be thankful for them. And pray for them or treat for them. If you like. Because ultimately, treating for them only does something for us. It doesn't do anything for them. So to quote the great teacher a little further, let me say this. I think that families of choice are the place where we choose to grow, we choose to bring our spirituality out. And we are free to choose and create those families from places other than those we are physically connected to or genetically connected to. We're also free to choose to be right with those folks too. You know, it isn't just about leaving home like the prodigal son. There was also the older brother who stayed right there and stayed connected in that great story. But the master teacher said this when he was approached. He was talking to a crowd. He was teaching on some rather complex things, and one of the people pulled his shirt sleeve and said, excuse me, but your mother and sister, or your brother and sister, or mother and brother are waiting for you outside to speak with you. And he turned to the crowd and said, who is my mother? Who's my brother? These disciples. What that's calling us to, and what it has to do with family values, is the real power and value of and authority and connection in our lives has to be in here first. He wasn't saying she's not my mother. Because later on, the story goes, he said, please take care of her. Handed her to someone to care for as he was leaving the planet. But it is saying that the real authority for my life, the family that gives me the direction and guidance and that my first allegiance is to, is not out there anywhere. It's those who share in me my ideas, my beliefs, my truth, and who stand with me. And I'm not talking about other people as much as I'm talking about the truth you hold within yourself. And that's the other really icky thing about radical families. Everything out there is just a reflection of us. We know that in this teaching. We talk about it. And it seems that we have an easier time with it with everywhere except our immediate families. It's a lot harder there. Because we have such mixed feelings. And because we started out with them before we knew who we are and how powerful we are. And what he said, the teacher said at that point, was, "My family are those who are seeking the will of the Father within me, just as I am." The Father within me is simply spirituality, the spiritual truth, the reality of the oneness right here that is speaking itself forward. And those who agree with that, who are participating in that, are your real family. So those ideas within you, which are truly the ideas that are inspired by oneness, inspired by truth, inspired by reality of what life really is about, the spiritual truth, spiritual principles we teach in this teaching, that's your family. Those are the folks you can depend on, whether they're in the form of a person, an idea, an experience, whatever. They're the ones who are really there for you as family. The encouragement is to reach for them and let go of the other stuff. Still love and appreciate, but not participate in. Not keep talking to. Sit with that one a little bit. So I want to begin to close, and I want to, because the other thing he said was, he talked about, and when he said that, he was talking about the will of the Father, the will of God. That's another one that gets us tangled up with families. I think sometimes it's God's will that you do what your family tells you to. There's somewhere else in the Bible where it says, honor your father and mother, blah, 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 blah. What people forget is it goes on to say, and parents, do not provoke your children to wrath. We don't usually do that one because we don't, the people who are talking are the adults. So they usually go with that piece. But the point here is that there is so much that pulls us toward what is the will of the greater power within me. How do I have this extensive freedom? What is that all about? And our family, our connection, our spiritual connections are those who share that desire for a greater knowing, a greater truth, a greater being. I love what the 12-step programs say about the will of God is to be happy, joyous, and free. That's the whole story. Not a particular thing, not something you're supposed to go do in order to find that will, not some special plan that's been laid out for you, but simply your freedom, your joy, your experience of living. That's what it's really about. So, you already have within you everything you need to create the family of your choice, living the family values that are radical in the sense that they're not based on a world of two-ness, of us and them, good and bad, right and wrong, all of that, but are based on the idea of oneness that recognizes the spirituality in every one of us. And I want to share with you from today's reading that the group discusses on, that did this morning, I think, from Ernest Holmes and Raymond Charles Barker. And it says this, I now consciously draw upon the life within which is in mine. I now re-educate myself definitely by whatever steps I may to a belief that there is given unto me a fullness of life which is divine in its origin, eternal in its presence, and always fully available. So that is always available to us to create and to use and to go forward. The life of God is my life. The infinite richness of the source of all good is mine to enjoy. The vital good health, the wisdom, the peace of the infinite spirit are mine. I now claim them. The act of taking is my right and privilege. Taking, partaking. I experience it now intelligently and in full faith. If there's any aspect of your family life that isn't working for you, you already have within you the power to have it work, not by fixing them, but by opening to the greater flow of wisdom, presence, prosperity, and power within you. It's already there. The answers already exist within you. Simply a matter of opening ourselves to them and being willing to hear what we hear. So I'd like to invite you to join me, if you would, in a few moments of meditation and treatment. So take a minute and take a deep breath and let go. Let your mind wander through the very best, most joyous, deeply meaningful and loving moments of family life for you, right in your present life. See the joy, see the laughter, see the shared tears, see the growth. Sometimes the growth can be painful but richly rewarding. Allow yourself to embody and embrace that awareness. And so we know in this moment, we are immersed in infinite intelligence, a universal love that is limitless and boundless, bigger and broader than we have yet imagined. And we open our hearts, our minds, our thoughts to receive the greatest ideas possible for ourselves, for those we love, and for how we are with those we love. For all of those in our family that represent something important to us, we recognize that all of them, each of them, is an expression of the divine, making its own way, having its own creative experience in rightness and trueness for each one. And we draw to us those who reflect our greatest ideas of truth, our greatest ideas of love, our greatest freedom, and who deeply, deeply honor each of us as we honor them. We open to the idea that even the some places in our lives where there appears to be disharmony in with family and with others has an underlying or overreaching greater truth, a greater expression of connection and love and oneness than we have yet seen. And we ask and we take bigger ideas of what that is, of what that love is, of what that overreaching connection is. And we look for the value in what they gave us and what they give us and what they will give us in the future, knowing that ultimately and finally everything works together for our good and for the good of life. Grateful for every person that I can call family, every person that's ever been part of my family, for the generations and generations going back, the present ones and the ones in the future. I recognize we are each part of an amazing multitude of people whose energy and life flow and life-givingness has flowed through us and will continue to do so, as we do with them. I allow myself to be wrapped up in that awareness with full freedom to move in that field. Knowing this is so, with great gratitude and ease, I release this now, letting the truth be mine, letting the truth flow from me to all I encounter. This is the truth. I'll let it be. And so it is. Thank you. Deep breath. Let it out. Thank you. So we are, in a sense, a family. We're a group of people who come together in a certain amount of like-mindedness. I always love that term. We say we're a like-minded group. Well, I don't know any group of religious scientists that are really like-minded, except that we fall from the same idea that there's one power and we all have it, and there's a spiritual power present in every one of us. After that, our opinions go in many different ways. However, We are a family. We are a family of many minds and many thoughts and one mind at the same time. So I invite you to support this family and to support yourself in this our opportunity to be here in this beautiful place with your contributions. If you have received value, we invite you to send value back. If you find this to be useful and pleasant and present, many of you are already contributing regularly through the website. We thank you. And we also want to let you know that it is possible for anyone to sign up through our website, cslmidtown.org, for additional to do your contributions there if you didn't think to bring your checkbook or whatever. So thank you for your gifts and for your givingness.